Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. 1 week from today, according to state law, there must be a California budget deal. And late last week, Democratic leaders signaled there was a framework. Still, there are going to be, and I'll use a COVID-19 term that's very popular right now, hotspots that have to be dealt with between the governor and lawmakers. He highlighted one of these in his press briefing last Friday.
What are we going to do about that? And by the way, I just want to be clear and respectful at the same time to California legislature. One thing we're not going to do is take the $4.4 billion that we promoted in our budget and dilute it by taking it away from concentration funding for Black and brown communities and those that are former foster youth and low income and English as second learners. I will reject any proposal that comes out of the legislature that does that. We are committed to the cause of equity. And that's the reason we put that $4.4 billion in the budget, to focus on equity.
Okay, hold that thought. Let's bring in CAP Radio's politics reporter, Nicole Nixon. She's joining us by phone for some budget talk. By the way, Nicole was also the journalist selected to pose the questions to the governor on behalf of CAP Radio and other media outlets last week. Hi there, Nicole.
Good morning.
Actually, you had a couple busy days because you were at the community rally on Saturday morning, too. Let me give you this question. How do you think the message and the strategy that the governor and his team have been putting forward on COVID-19 are connecting with people, for example, the thousands and thousands who were gathered Saturday morning?
Well, if you're asking whether the crowd would have been bigger if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, I don't think there's just any way of knowing that. But I will say that the vast majority of people at that event, and by the way, SAC PD estimates there were 15,000 people there on Saturday, the vast majority were wearing masks. And at the beginning of the march, I did see one attempt to try to get people to socially distance by spreading out their arms, but that just did not work. There were too many people in that street. And I think that the numbers of people showing up to these events just shows how important this is to people. It comes up over and over again at these demonstrations that COVID-19 is disproportionately impacting people of color, especially Black people, and they are choosing to gather and protest anyway. I've also heard at these demonstrations that racism is a pandemic that needs to be wiped out too. But unlike COVID-19, you know, racism and systemic inequities have been around for hundreds of years.
So this hour, we've spent time talking about various approaches to making lasting change in terms of laws or funding or what Mayor Steinberg just suggested, looking again at the 911 system and who responds and in what way. Is there any time right now in the budget pipeline for the state to tackle any kind of reform or law? I mean, the clock is ticking down on 7 days.
Yeah, well, some of those reforms could be included in the budget. Newsom has proposed closing down two prisons and eliminating the Department of Juvenile Justice. Those are in his revised budget. Some reforms could be separate from the budget. There's an affirmative action constitutional amendment. That still has a deadline, though. Lawmakers would have to pass that by a two-thirds majority in both chambers. I think that deadline is by June 25th in order to put it on the ballot this year. And then voters would weigh in. So there are some deadlines. Some are softer than others.
Can I get back to that soundbite that we heard about the $4.4 billion and the purpose of equity and the fact that the governor said that is something he is not going to budge on? Would you give more context and understanding to what he's talking about?
Yeah, so he was talking about, it's called concentration funding, and this is money that goes to school districts where at least 55% of the students are more at need, is the term they use, meaning they're low income, they are in the foster system, or they do not speak English as their first language. And Newsom made the case that this type of funding is really especially important right now because of widespread learning loss due to the coronavirus. You know, students forgetting material because they're not physically in the classroom, and the challenges of distance learning. And this is another area, again, where Black communities and low-income students are disproportionately affected. The loss is much higher for those students. And he says this funding is just one sort of budgetary example of working toward closing some of those inequitable systemic gaps.
In that press conference, the governor said that a study had just come out that said the average learning loss in the country because of COVID-19 is 7 months. But for the Black community, he said 10.3 months. And for low-income people in low-income communities, over 1 year of learning loss. Now, it's interesting we're talking about this because at 11:15 this morning, the state superintendent of schools, Tony Thurman, is going to announce guidelines for reopening schools across the state. The recommendations have been posted on the website. This is a roadmap. Districts are expected to navigate their own as they find appropriate. I am really just starting to scan through the recommendations. Have you had a chance to look at them, Nicole?
Yeah, and the state also released some guidelines last week. It looks like there might be some overlap between the two, but things that are jumping out to me, schools may have to close or repurpose places like cafeterias or libraries. Maybe that means only allowing small groups of kids in at a time, and maybe students will have to eat their lunch outside or in their classrooms, staggering drop-off and pick-up times at school to limit contact between parents and, school workers. And then also a big one, reducing capacity on school buses. And maybe that requires a seating chart. And if there are fewer kids on a bus, maybe that means that it takes longer to get all the kids to school.
Let me give you a real small point that any parent knows. You send a child to school with a jacket or a sweater. By the middle of the day, the jacket or the sweater are somewhere on the playground, and then they end up in the lost and found that's somewhere in the cafeteria or somewhere else. I am thinking about these millions of kids across the state that go to school with a mask, and how many masks look the same. And then they take their mask off to eat lunch, and the mask stays where? On the playground or somewhere in the classroom. There are going to be so many, many granular issues to solve in knowing how to do this that, once again, teachers in so many ways end up on the front lines, Nicole. So to think that the state and the county are putting out recommendations that are pages, 30 and 40 mm-hmm. pages long, is no surprise right now.
Yeah, there is certainly a lot to work through. And again, a detail that jumped out to me and that you mentioned is it's not one size fits all. These are just guidelines, and districts will have to work with their own students, their own parents, their own teachers, their own buildings to try to figure this out.
So let's shift a little bit to the idea that the state is standing by and preparing for COVID-19 cases to change. The governor last week said that he does expect the number of cases to increase because of the reopening combined with the protests.
And our capacity has never been greater to meet the needs from an ICU perspective, a hospitalization perspective, an alternative care perspective, and a PPE perspective.
So the two issues are going to continue to walk in lockstep, but schools, at the same time that they're opening, have to be prepared, Nicole, along with businesses and so many other arenas that are opening the doors again, to toggle backwards.
Yeah, I tried to press him on actually toggling backwards, and he kind of skipped over that on Friday. I think it's interesting that we are seeing cases go up. We are seeing people gather in massive groups for these demonstrations, and here the state's putting out guidelines about reopening bars on Friday. He had mentioned several times in over the past few months that if cases start to go up, if there are surges, the state would be prepared to pull back some reopenings, reinstate stay-at-home orders if needed, but it doesn't look like the state is posed to do that at this moment.
So casinos are opening today, and June 12th, as you said, bars, gyms, museums, zoos, there's a long list of what can reopen. The details are at covid19.ca.gov. There is no press conference scheduled by the governor today. I do anticipate that there will be at least one this week. But meanwhile, we have the budget process. So what's going to happen between now and next Monday?
So the legislature and the governor still have to reach an agreement on the budget. I think they're aiming for, well, they've really got to reach one by the end of this week if they're going to pass one on Monday. There are still some disagreements about, you know, how much to actually cut now versus how much to rely on reserves like the rainy day fund. There's also some disagreements about oversight of Newsom spending on coronavirus. He wants the legislature basically to cut him another very large blank check to battle this pandemic. And then also hanging over all of this is a really big cloud of uncertainty over whether some financial help will come from the federal government. Republicans in Washington really don't seem eager at all to help states out with their budget crises. Newsom is still very much pushing for some relief, and the legislature even included that $14 billion in their own budget. They've pushed the deadline for that from, I think, the beginning of July when Newsom was hoping it would come until October. So Congress does have a bit more time to kick California some aid if it does come through. But yeah, there will be some tough negotiations, I think, this week between the lawmakers and the governor.
And California is just one of many states being very blunt about the fact that they don't think they can make it. They can't balance their budgets right now. They can't fund mm-hmm. the COVID-19 response if there isn't help from the federal government. Okay, Nicole, I don't know when our paths are going to cross this week, but I know it's going to happen again. Thanks for joining us today on Insight.
Thank you.
That is Nicole Nixon, Cap Radio's politics reporter. We're going to take a break and come back with The Uplift, which is especially for anyone that has kids that aren't going to be going to summer school, aren't going to be going to summer camp this summer, but boy, they really need something to do. So we'll be right back. This is Insight on Cap Radio.